the nightlife, you know what? And I love what's happening right now because I'm in WMFO 91.5 with Molly and the girls and a guy. What is your name? What is it? You can speak into that.
Ben.
And the girls, what's your name?
My name's Emily.
Emily and?
Caroline.
I'm telling you, I am the luckiest guy in the world. Are you kidding me? This is great. What a way to end my show. And I got my baby Molly here. That's great. Hey, chat with Molly's coming up. My name's D. I'm out of here, y'all. I'm going to head home and rake leaves. Till next time, we'll catch you again. Stay tuned for Molly, chatting with Molly. You got any questions, call Molly. She has all the answers, I'm telling you right now. Love you guys. I'm out of here. Bye-bye, y'all.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 12:03 p.m. You are listening to Chatting with Molly on 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We got some fun guests in the house today. Happy Wednesday. And I'll have our guests just kind of go down the line and introduce themselves. But first, going to give a shout out to DJ D for a great Dance Music Express show last hour. We love your program. And with that, guests, take it away.
Hello, everyone. My name is Caroline.
My name is Emily.
And my name is Ben.
Nice. And we are happy to have our lovely guests on today. I think this is the first time this semester I've had three guests, so that's pretty hype. And yeah, so in classic Chatting with Molly fashion, we will ask each guest what they had for breakfast, and we'll go from there. So what do you guys have for breakfast?
I can go first. I actually had one of the more bougie breakfasts I've had in a while. Had a little toast, had a little fried egg, and in between the toast and the fried egg, I had a little arugula, a little cherry tomato. It was really quite the time. I was really feeling it this morning. So
amazing. That sounds great. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I did not wake up early enough to make such a high-class breakfast, so I stuck with my classic, a yogurt, banana, and a little granola in there. Don't forget the coffee on the side.
What type of yogurt?
Just some, oh, Nancy's, actually organic. We decided to splurge this week and buy organic yogurt.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
I have a follow-up question. Okay. Ben KM, would you like to
I woke up and had a standard carm breakfast of egg and sausage and some spinach and fruit.
That sounds amazing.
Very mediocre.
Wow, I love carm breakfast. Carm is a great breakfast.
I think it has more options than DeWick, except when DeWick has the pastries on the side.
Yeah, that's true. This morning, DeWick had potato triangles, which I forgot existed.
I mean, there's a whole Instagram for them.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Are there potato triangles?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
100%. I follow it. Do you want to see?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, a whole new world.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your organic yogurt.
Okay.
Why buy organic?
Okay, well, normally we go with the classic Wegmans, like just their plain
low
fat. $1.99
low fat yogurt.
I know the.
Yeah. But then, okay, we went in, I don't know, we went grocery shopping a couple days ago, and Wegmans was like bare bones. Yeah. They were out of everything. And we were like, well, why don't we try the Nancy's yogurt? It's what I grew up eating. And it's kind of bitter. I think like some people really like it. And when I was younger, people were like, why are you eating that gross sour yogurt? But I really enjoy it.
Got it. It's normal yogurt or it's Greek?
It's normal. But I feel like it's a little thicker than like, I don't know. Got the Wegmans yogurt's just like water dyed white.
I think I called it sour water.
Sorry, sour water.
Wow, there really is a potato triangle Instagram. That's incredible. Oh, your flashlight is on. But, okay, so you buy organic because you like the brand, like for the taste, for the nostalgia.
Yeah, it also has a lot better probiotics, I think, like the whatever bacteria in the yogurt. I mean, I would imagine. I think so.
Yeah, it's a better gut biome.
Yeah, we definitely were reading all about the different ones.
Okay. Yeah. Because, Claire and Margot are in this class about food sustainability.
Yeah. Yes.
And Claire wrote this big expose on organic, and she actually interviewed Nikhil, who was a guest on the show 2 weeks ago. And she was like, okay, what do you buy? He's like, I buy organic. And she's like, why? He's like, it's just better. I'm not really sure. And she actually did this big, deep dive into organics.
Yogurt
and,
or organic
no,
in
no.
general?
Like, general.
Okay.
General.
Well, yeah.
And she really found that, A, not necessarily healthier. My mom would always say that, like, oh, buying organic apples is good because the pesticides are less.
Like,
but they're actually not, because because organic still use just as much pesticides, but they're just, quote, natural pesticides, which are just like the same level of harm. And even in non-organic produce, there's no conclusive evidence that the pesticides cause harm, because there's so much FDA regulation on like what humans can ingest anyways. Second is, you buy organic for the environmental impact, and that she also found was like pretty non-conclusive. Some things like bananas are actually much better for the environment if you buy organic, but plenty of things just like aren't using less water, aren't using less land. Sometimes organic actually uses more land and causes more direct emissions. So, which is like really unsettling to think about, that like, oh, the one saving grace of like me trying to be conscious in the grocery store is now like a moot point.
Yeah. Well, but it's also hard when you're in college and, like, I can't really afford to buy organic food.
Right, but it's the notion that even if we could afford it, it's not even helpful.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
But, so that's pretty sad.
For stuff like yogurt, though, I feel like it's more about the nutritional value. Like, it could be not organic, but if it still had all the, like, other nutrients in it that, like, Wegmans base $1.99 yogurt doesn't have, I think that is the reason to buy it over it being organic. Yeah.
I guess, or, like, yogurt, I can see that, but also, no other like
that's true.
Staple.
Not fruit, but I would say meat. Like, to me, that's important. I mean, we don't necessarily buy organic meat because it's like significantly more expensive.
Yeah.
But I think based on like the, I don't know, like cattle industry in the U.S.,
right,
that stuff, like, I don't know, or like free-range chicken. I think there's something to be said just about the treatment of animals even. But like also
environmental. Yeah, but I don't know if organic is necessarily nicer to them or like
if
gives them.
If it says free-range.
But that's not organic.
But I feel like you don't, there's no like free range non-organic chicken. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
I actually don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I think, so Claire and I have like really tried to think through a certifying system. And I kind of like thought of this because my brother is very religious, mm-hmm. and he like, the parallel I would draw is he has a set of values, and when he wants to go to the grocery store, he shops according to his values. And so he looks at every package. If there's a little stamp on it that says aligns with your values, in this case, it's like a kosher heksher on it, then he buys it. And if it doesn't, he doesn't buy it because he doesn't eat non-kosher things. And I feel like for environmental sustainability, there could be a similar like separate non-governmental body who kind of comes up with this thing. And there's this big green check that's like non-GMO that literally means nothing for sustainability, and that people sometimes are like fooled into thinking it's better for the environment. But I just feel like as a consumer, it's so hard to make
those decisions. I agree, but I think there are already so many different symbols that like, it's just hard to say. Like when you look at coffee, there's like, it could be whatever.
There's like free trade.
Fair trade. Right. But then there's like organic, or it could be natural. And you're like, I don't really know what the difference between all these, or like fair treatment of workers, you know? So I don't know. It's very hard. How do you govern that?
Or it's none of the official things and they just like write a story on the back of it. That could be true.
Like on the back of the milk. This is from a family farm. Yeah. Thanks, Horizon. Yeah. You're not a family
this
farm.
This cow's name is Patty. Like, came from.
Like, great.
Patty was raised on dandelions.
Yeah, Patty gets treated.
There's one cow that was not treated
horribly. Yeah, exactly. Well, listeners, if you haven't kind of understood by now, I play Frisbee, and we have our guests also are associated with the Frisbee program. Do people just want to like say what program, I don't know, like how you are aligned with the Frisbee program and what it means to you?
Jeez. Yeah. I'd say we're all pretty strongly aligned with the Frisbee program.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of bought in as freshmen and tried out for the various women's and men's competitive teams at Tufts and have spent a lot of time playing Frisbee and hanging out with Frisbee people and
living with Frisbee people
since then. It's a really great community. We work hard. We play hard. We all really like each other for the most part, which is pretty cool. I don't know.
That was well said.
Yeah. Okay. I guess so. Pups and Caroline or Emily. Sorry, so
or we could go by Pups. I can go by Pups.
We're just gonna call her Pups. So the guest who introduced herself as Emily, her Frisbee name is Pups. So we will be referring to her as Pups. Caroline and Pups are seniors. And Ben, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a freshman this year, playing for the Tufts E-Men. It's been a very unique experience for me because I was injured the entire fall. We don't need to go super in-depth on that. We can. So I like tried out late this spring, but just like throughout the spring, like starting to be able to play with the program and getting to know both the men's and women's teams, it's already been like an amazing community. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be able to play with the
amazing. That's so nice. Yeah, I feel like... your guys' freshman year, did you feel like you were close with the men's team?
I think we were close with our class. We forced them to be friends with us. But I think there was significantly more difference like between the grades. The seniors our freshman year were like their own big crew. And like that's the same this year. Like we do have our big crew of friends. Yeah. But like I think we branch out a lot more and like make an effort to hang out with other people.
Yeah.
I think sophomore year like really grew. All of our friends lived in like one suite in Wren, and mm-hmm. like the men's side of it, and like they were the B team and the A team, mm-hmm. and yeah.
I think a couple of years before our freshman year, the program was not as close, and there was like some not animosity, but just like different like difference in culture between the women's and men's team. But I think like the years immediately before us have really done a lot to bridge that gap. And
us too.
We've definitely like continued it. Never forget when we made a group chat freshman year.
Yeah.
I only had about three of the numbers in it. It was like, hey, these are all the freshmen, Iwo and Emen.
Let's get friends.
We made mandatory freshman dinner in DeWick. Let's go.
We definitely did. And now it didn't go well.
Our first couple were kind of weird.
They were so awkward. You just like wouldn't talk. But now we live with all of them.
So it's great.
I feel like
I feel like my freshman year was such, okay, A, such a blur.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, don't remember.
Frisbee-wise, like, yeah, just a blur. But I for sure did not know the men's team at all. I, like, maybe talked to Nick Hale once. And then, like, yeah. Nick Hale was just, like, Margot's friend.
Yeah.
And I, like, didn't really talk to them at all. But then sophomore year, I felt like I got really close with a lot of the senior class that year. Maybe because my friends were, like, dating some guys in the senior class.
Your
like
sophomore
Ferb was dating Jam
and Ollie and Claire.
And then I feel like now we're all just homies.
I think, yeah, this year I think it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just in particular.
In my 1 year of experience, two teams have been like very close. Like more than I would have expected, but I'm very, very happy with it. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's also so exciting that we are both going to Nationals.
Oh my goodness.
This is my first radio show since Regionals, actually, because I was not on air last week. So, shout out to the men and women's programs for making it, aka us.
Shout out to us, the four of us in this room.
But I had HP and Nikki on like the Wednesday before, and we were just talking about like, oh yeah, we both have really contentious regions and like three bids but four good teams, and I'm so excited.
I still am not over it. I like can't even believe because the boys haven't been in
since 2013.
Four or five years.
No, longer than since we've been here.
They missed out 2014.
They made it 2014.
Right, six years.
2014 was the last year they went.
They went in 2014?
Of Oliver.
Yeah, but, so before Oliver.
Yeah. And they went in 2014.
No one on the team has been to Nationals for the event.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm just so excited.
Great.
Like, when they scored the final point and won, I know I'm excited for us going, but it's, like, our third year going. I don't know. And no,
Pops is over it.
No. Like, I have really high expectations for us. Like, I think we can do
not
very
for
well.
Us.
No.
Tufts Eman, just happy to be here.
The new William and Mary.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
No. But like when they won, just the amount of excitement they had.
Yeah.
Like we were excited
and
to
pride.
Win, but knew we like were going half like by the second half of that game when we came back and they didn't score a single point on us.
Shout out, Evo.
Yeah.
Shout out, Evo.
D-line.
Yeah. So changing topics a little bit, I'd like to talk about the weather because I am so excited about the sunshine. It's really like unreal the change from last week to this week.
Even
last week was so
2 days
cold.
Ago.
Yeah.
I don't understand Northeast weather.
Seattle, he's used to the rain.
Okay, we're going to go around and we're going to say our favorite sunshine activity.
Oh,
like just to do outside. Like, and I would say it has to be along the lines of lounging. Like, frisbee doesn't count, and like running doesn't count. It has to be some lounging activity.
So, favorite place to lounge in the sun?
Yeah, could be that. Or like playing bocce ball. Or
I forgot about
like
bocce ball.
Sun naps.
What is yours?
Okay,
sun naps.
I mean, definitely like hammocking.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I do love your hammock.
Yeah, and then like leisure throwing in the sun is always fun.
I like the beach. I like to be lounging at the beach. I like hot sun, and I like that when I get too hot, I can go run in the water and be in the water for like 2 seconds and then get cold and then run back out and get really hot again.
I don't love beaches. I get really sunburned at them. We don't have a lot of nice sand beaches in Alaska. I think... I don't know. I really like early mornings when it's like going to be a really sunny day and it's still kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you starting outside and I don't know. I think like leisure throwing, but just hanging out in the grass with a bunch of friends and like casually, especially, I don't know, like the Prez lawn. That's very cliche.
But like morning coffee.
Morning coffee
on the sunny porch.
On the sunny porch.
That is a good one.
And then like, and then it's slowly getting warmer. And
Yeah.
I would say just like hanging out on like a beach or on a nice piece of grass is pretty fun in general. I really like playing some spike ball when it's nice out.
Oh, that's
especially
such a
on
good
a beach.
One.
That's one of my favorite Sunday activities.
Yeah.
Not Sunday, but
sunny day.
Sunny day.
Yes.
Yeah. I also this year I've gotten really into walks.
Interesting.
Like walks by myself.
Okay.
And I just put on my little headphone, guys, and I just walk around. Yeah, I mean, I'm jamming it. I'm not like dancing.
Well, yes.
Because, internally well, jam. Sometimes I'm internal jam. Yeah.
Where do you walk?
Really anywhere. Like sometimes I'll just like walk to Davis to do something that I didn't like need to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I'll just kind of like do a lap on Brom and then Pearson.
Interesting.
And back to Brom.
That was like short walk.
Yeah, short. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. We're not talking like long walks. If I'm like with people, I'd go on a long walk.
That's what I was going to say. Also like going into the city when it's really sunny out and just like casually hanging. I don't know. I love walking over the Charles.
Yeah.
Because it's like so different from what I grew up having.
Normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normal mist over the Charles.
Yeah. A nice mist.
A nice mist. But yeah.
But yeah, I would say campus, there's like a lot of good hanging areas. Yeah. Preslon is a classic. Mm-hmm.
For the 1 week of sun.
Yeah.
Well, campus. This year, I feel like it's been significantly colder than the last 2 years.
It has. It's
like, I was looking and had some old photos, and it was like 85 and hot and humid, and we were like barbecuing in our backyard, and it hasn't been like that.
Yeah, really. I remember taking finals last year.
Yeah.
I was so hot in the classroom.
Exactly.
Like, I would walk out of there and just be in a pool of sweat.
Well, there's that one day where it's like so sunny and so warm that you skip all your classes, and I feel like I didn't even have that day this year.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It's really too bad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But maybe it's good that we're just like done with classes by the time
now,
we get there.
Now, actually, it feels good now.
For the
state
of Boston.
Yeah, for the Boston.
Yeah. So, Pops and Caroline, you guys are both graduating, which is very exciting. Do you want to share with us like what you're doing and any feelings you have towards your life that is happening now?
Oh, my God.
You
can go first.
Okay. I actually am postponing real life by going to grad school next year. So getting my MPH at Tufts again and just, like, doing a fifth year, which, I don't know, I'm very excited about. It didn't really hit me until, like, yesterday when I finished finals. I was like, wow, I'm done with undergrad and done with classes that I don't necessarily enjoy taking but needed to graduate. And now, like, I'm so excited for next year because I'm taking classes at BU, which has a really cool environmental health program.
Amazing.
And so there's a lot of, like, which is what I want to do, in infectious diseases and that kind of stuff. I'm pretty excited for that. I'm definitely, I don't know, I've learned about myself that I'm not good at change recently. And it's more like, it's not moving somewhere new or, like, new things, but it's, like, the buildup to it and then, like, the kind of nostalgia for, I don't know, college. Sometimes I say I peaked sophomore year of college, which, like, is probably not true, but I don't know. Like, I think, I mean, you were talking about Frisbee and, like, the community of Frisbee just, like, throughout college. I think that's something that's
It was, like, peak
hard
fun.
To miss.
Peak
yeah.
fun. Maybe not personal peaking, but peak fun.
Peak fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll be around next year.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I'll be around, but I am working. I'm a civil engineer, so I'm going to be working for a civil engineering company. In Reading, Mass.
Nice.
Driving around, probably doing a lot of like water quality sampling and making sure that cities and towns don't dump polluted water and runoff into waterways.
That's good.
That's my job.
So what about civil, you mentioned water, and there's also like other aspects of civil engineering, and which ones do you like and which ones do you not like?
Okay. I don't like structural and like roads and
like what Moose does.
What Moose does, like bridges and stuff, I can really do without.
Okay.
I trust that they will stand up on my own. Like, not my problem. Yeah. I like, the way I always describe it is like I like the interactions between the built world and the natural world. I think that is like the coolest part of it. So like I want to build this thing, but like, can that ground actually hold it up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, we're going to build this thing. What's that going to mean for like what happens when it rains? What happens when it snows? Like,
right.
All the other like natural events that will happen that are going to impact this area differently when you build this thing.
Yeah.
So kind of like the, I don't know what to call it, like the bigger picture side of things.
Cool.
And I definitely like you can work in like for the private sector, you can work for the public sector. I definitely like working on like public jobs. It's a lot more satisfying.
Yeah, fulfilling.
Rewarding. Yeah.
I recently learned, so I crashed the civil engineering barbecue. You guys had some good mac and cheese.
I know, I
will
missed
tell
it.
You. Dang. Okay, well, I grabbed your plate then, so I didn't steal anything. And a civil engineer by the name of Jonas
Jonas
walked me through what a fish ladder is.
That's my final project. I gotta go finish
Holy buckets. That is awesome.
Holy buckets.
But I learned that in dams, there are ladders for fish.
Sometimes,
if they're good.
Yeah.
And that is so cool because the fish are just trying to go upstream. Yeah. And that is very cool. So I feel like that is a really good testament to like intersection of natural world.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And, yeah. It's like just cool that that's something that people do think about. Like, people do have a conscience normally. You just have to like, hopefully. Normally when it's like when it's a public project, they're a lot more likely to like think about those things.
Got it.
And they're, and there's like a lot more people who will advocate for it. Whereas when it's like a private developer, people are just like, it's private land. We don't really care. So,
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. I was having problems with my fish ladder. Things were looking grim for the blueback herring, but things are looking better now.
That's good.
Yeah, you gotta save it.
Yeah, you gotta save the blueback herring.
Come on, Caroline.
Ben, what are you majoring in, and what classes have you liked freshman year so far?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. I am leaning towards majoring in chemistry. I just have no idea yet. And I might tack on French as well.
Nice.
I was talking to Caroline about this about the other night. Yeah. I wouldn't want to only do French because I feel like there's a very specific career path with that. But I also have been taking it since middle school, and I don't want to like just drop it now that I'm like decent at it.
Yeah.
So I've also really liked my French classes so far because they've been like the smallest and most kind of like personal at Tufts with the other students and the professor. And then I also to an extent liked my chem class for the periods of the semester where it wasn't crushing me. So far I had a very good freshman year academically. I was like fairly interested by most of my classes, but I also don't want to think about the future too much yet. It's amazing seeing Emily and Caroline like actually doing real things in the future, and a lot of the other seniors who I've interacted with. But I'm glad that I'm not there yet.
You'll get there.
All in good time.
Yeah, not that far.
Yeah.
Dang. Are you thinking about going abroad?
I very much am planning on going abroad to
France. Oh, that's awesome.
I've been wanting to do that my whole life. So
good.
I'm very stoked for that opportunity.
Would you want to go to France or somewhere else?
Yeah, I'd want to do the one in Paris.
Right. Tufts has one there.
Yeah. Cool. Nola did Tufts in Paris.
And Sam.
I knew that.
Yeah. Did she like it?
Yeah, Nola really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I hear good things about, like, the Tufts homestays they set you up with, like, for the most part, are pretty good.
Good to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, so what do you like about chemistry? Because I also really like chemistry and was actually thinking about doing chemical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
but,
that.
Ooh, yeah. I was like, I'm, like, in the three sectors of, like, chem, physics, bio, I'm definitely in the chem camp.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So...
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I say I like chemistry, a lot of people give me weird looks. But for me, it's just, like, about being interested in kind of, like, how everything works on, like, the very smallest level. Because I'm just, like, I've always been interested on, like, just, like, how things are happening. And I feel like chemistry is the science that, like, goes the most in-depth on that. Even though it's not necessarily things you can see all the time. Like, I've taken general chemistry and I took AP in high school, but I haven't gotten beyond that to the actual, like, really in-depth stuff, so I want to at least try that before I say chemistry is too hard.
Nice.
But yeah, so I'm just interested in like how things work and then potentially using that to do something that would help the world.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
it's a good goal.
Yeah,
I like that. My mom would. My mom, Emily, I just want you to do something that's gonna help the world. Okay.
So Margo and I were talking at breakfast about the breakdown of different majors and the breakdown of how close people are within that major. So the thing when talking about it, you like should try to hold constant is number of people. Like obviously some are bigger, some majors are bigger, but if you just think about it, like given some majors that could be similar populated, we're thinking about the breakdown of like in engineering, you collaborate on homework a lot. And so that really brings people together. But in class, at least my classes, you're like watching a professor write on the board. And then like Tuna, who's a housemate of mine and is a sociology major and history, like writes papers by herself, but in classes goes really in-depth conversating with people and like having class discussions. And so I feel like they're like two things that bring people together or apart. So I don't know if you guys have thoughts on like breakdown of what types of majors are like close with each other.
I would say that the civvies are very close with each other. I would say that I am the outlier in their closeness because I was abroad junior fall. Also because I had a lot of like AP classes, so I kind of missed some of the, like I took some of the classes that people grind together on like out of order.
Got it.
So I've kind of overlapped with three generations of civvies, like Moose's year, my year, and Fern's year.
Yeah.
Because I've taken my classes at all different times.
Yeah.
But junior fall is like the notoriously like bad semester where you take like four really hard classes all together at all at the same time. So you're with the same 15 people. It's only 15 people in every class and you all have the exact same work and you just like every night are grinding.
Yeah.
So they got really close that semester while I was like in Italy just not doing anything. Not doing anything at all.
Yeah.
They came back and they were like, oh my God, geotech was a nightmare. And I was like, oh my God, I showed up to class and then did an oral exam. And he was like, oh, you tried. Good job. Yeah, so I think they're like uncharacteristically close.
Yeah,
like they hang out outside of doing work now. Like they're got like it. Each other's
friends.
Like yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think environmental studies and community health, which are my majors. I think the thing is that they're both, or they started as secondary majors, and now they're both like their own individual
primary,
major. Yeah, primary major. I don't know. I think like because in both of those like sectors of classes, every class is discussion based, and so in that sense, like I did get to know a lot of my classmates, or like I was in a class that we did like work in the community, and so we like drove together and like would get dinner together, and we're close there. But I like didn't really hang out with people outside of it. I also think that might be more like frisbee and like being abroad.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like we have our sect of group of friends, and kind of hang out with them. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't declared a major yet, so I'm not like I haven't been into very specialized classes. But I made like one or two like good study friends through my chemistry class. Shout out Benji. after like just to do like problem sets and study together. But like generally the other people who I've met taking chemistry don't seem super open in like making like a community because like I don't know,
Grinding.
Which is not surprising to me, but. It's okay, I have frisbee.
Always have frisbee.
Always have frisbee.
I think hearing what you guys just said, I feel like now I'm thinking it has nothing to do with like content of the class, but only if you're on a track with people.
Yeah.
Like if you have multiple classes in
together.
A certain order you have to do, then that's just like the people you're going to look to.
I think when you look like across campus, it'd be engineers that are really the closest because they have, you guys have significantly less flexibility in your schedule than the rest of us do.
Yeah.
Like I've taken classes in like probably 15 different majors on campus.
Right. And I feel like community health is so confusing to me because there's no order. You don't have to take certain intros.
No, now you do. Now you do. So you have like CH1, but the thing is they're bigger classes. I think people who got closest in community health were people that got close with professors and from there like met a like group of people.
Got it.
And I would say like I've definitely made friends in community health classes, especially. But then the hard thing is, like, Jack is in community health and doing, like, the MPH program thing, but he also plays frisbee. So, like, I don't know. He was, like, Yeah, and so, like, we have taken so many classes together and, like, we're each other's friends in those.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Very interesting. I would love to see a psych study done on the decision-making process for like college students and making major decisions because I feel like it's fairly random.
I agree. I think like you get one good class and you're like, I think I might do this.
Exactly.
Like that's how I was.
Right. You like one professor and you're like, oh my God, this is the department for me.
Yeah.
And it's so random.
Or you like think you know and you show up. Like I showed up and I took like my CE93 whatever like intro to engineering class with like Professor Lantaine, who was
the best
coolest person,
like my favorite
in
professor
in the entire world. She does like emergency response, like public
health
engineering
things.
Is her thing, but it's just like she epitomizes like all the different things you could do with an engineering degree.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you're so cool. This is obviously the right thing for me
right.
to do.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree with that because I came in thinking like civil engineering sounds fun, I guess. I don't know.
I'm always surprised by people who came in like applying to the engineering school and how they knew. Like engineering, mm-hmm. I guess, was not emphasized in my high school by any means, and so like even physics, I've never taken physics.
Interesting.
Which, like, it's probably not great. But yeah, I just fine. I don't know. I like now looking back, wish I had done civil engineering because I've taken a lot of like not the math based ones, but like as Caroline was talking about, like Professor Lantain, I've worked for her and like in her lab and done a lot of engineering things or like taken engineering classes that are very public health focused.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But then you wouldn't have been able to do any of the interesting CH classes.
That's true. Yeah. So it's kind of a weird balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know.
So, okay. I'm really interested in this MPH thing because shout out to my mom. She's listening right now. she has an MPH, but she is not at all in like...
But you said
disease.
She works for WIC, right?
Yeah. Women, infant, child.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like a registered dietitian and more like that sector.
I think that's why I like public health, though, is because it's like such a wide variety.
Yeah.
So, in my classes, I've definitely done like a large variety of things, but I chose to kind of like take classes that more fall along the lines of like water sanitation and hygiene, which is really looking at like infectious diseases in low income areas.
Interesting. So water, okay.
Yeah, it's called WASH.
Yeah, I don't even think of like water sanitation as public health, which obviously it is, but I don't even like associate
consider
it there. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite classes at Tufts, well, there's two, was like this WASH seminar with my advisor, and it's basically like you look at on the engineering side, like you look at intervention strategies to eliminate like pathways that diseases are transmitted. So that's like building toilets or like more functional toilets that like, limit contamination or like contact with feces.
Yeah.
And then set that on there. And then or like public health. Yeah, there's just like so many things. But then there's the other, like there's a much more social side of public health, which a lot of people also like. And I've worked in a like clinic where I was doing that side of things, which is like working with immigration or working with like women and children. I think like both sides are all valuable. There's just difference.
Yeah.
I think mine's a little more like hard science based, if you can say that.
Yeah.
Which is why I like the biology, and then it kind of plays more into like my environmental studies side of things.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for everyone. This is a big change of subjects.
180.
Is peanut butter sweet or savory? Claire and I were really arguing over this.
I can't.
I think it's savory.
I also think it's savory.
No.
I fully think it's sweet.
I fully agree with you.
Oh, no.
There's just like it's so clearly sweet to me.
Yeah, so when you have a peanut butter salty and jelly sandwich, you just taste only sweet things.
Yes.
Yeah.
The point of the peanut butter is to balance it out.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
It's
not double sweet.
No. But it's so like, you have savory things in your ice cream, you're telling me?
Yeah.
When it's peanut butter.
What about like have you ever had like
salted caramel?
Salted caramel.
I don't like
or
that.
Like,
salted
like pretzel
also sweet.
No,
pretzel chocolate
part.
Chip, that's a good one.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's salt. I wouldn't consider peanut butter salty.
I think it's
salty.
No. I would actually say peanut butter is salty, but it's not savory.
I think it can be used in savory dishes. Like if you put it in what? Like pad thai.
Right.
You put in, I mean, like
but
if
that's
you're
a
cheap,
sweet,
you make it.
But
I agree, it's adding the sweet part of pad thai.
Oh, you think it's making it more savory?
Yes.
No.
Wow.
It's definitely not making it sweeter.
No.
I don't think it makes it sweet.
No.
Oh,
no.
My God.
Does it have
God.
Sugar content? Like that?
Yes.
There's so much sugar in peanut butter.
Not enough.
Maybe if you're just using plain peanuts, then no. There's like not as much, but...
Dang. Okay, well, I guess we'll just have to disagree.
I will agree with you on disagreeing with them.
Yeah. Okay, I'd love to get into some morality questions. If anyone, I mean, I don't have one that I'm dying to talk about, but I have plenty that are just like on the back burner. But does anyone have any like moral quandaries they want to talk through? Because chatting with Molly is definitely the place. Like interesting moral questions that have come up in your life?
I feel like we had a conversation recently.
We did.
Do about we want stealing?
Yeah, should we dig in?
Sure, we can dig into it.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll start because to me, it's like not even really a question. It's just like stealing so obviously wrong to me.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it is wrong.
It is wrong. I think right. You were saying, I think when we were having a conversation, that there's like a very distinct line. And that's like what makes it wrong or makes it right. And right. I think that there's more like leeway with it.
I think it depends who you steal from.
Robin Hood.
Like it's so. Always wrong, but if you steal from the man, it's less wrong.
It's less
wait,
wrong.
Okay, let's talk about Robin Hood. Because I understand this is not a widely held opinion, but I think Robin Hood is wrong. Like I think
really?
What Robin Hood does is wrong.
So, but then how do you feel about, like, the people he's stealing from? Like, you think that they have a right to that money that they had?
So, my feeling is that none of us ever, like, know the full picture, right? Like, none of us can play God.
Yeah.
And when you are deciding that, like, this person doesn't have a right to their money and I am, like, morally superior, like know what's best for everyone and I'm gonna like take justice into my own hands, that like I think is so inherently flawed because no one can like know enough. No one is 100% evil in life. There's like
totally
everyone.
Game of Thrones has taught us
yeah
that.
Very true. Complex characters. And I think like in real life there's no situation where you can actually be like, this person didn't deserve this money.
But I think it's less for Robin Hood's perspective, him saying you don't deserve this money, but more saying these people are in like severe need of this money and they do deserve it in that sense.
But like in...
Like if you're so poor that you can't buy food for yourself, like you think that the other people have a right to the money.
But I think that there's a difference between like setting up structures that take care of people and actual like
stealing,
right? Because I think my line with the whole stealing thing is if you act a certain way, if you're okay with everyone acting that way. And with the stealing, if we're fine with just like everyone stealing from everyone or just everyone stealing from rich people and all giving it to poor people, then I just like don't think that's a proper system. And that
I agree, but I don't think that there's a system in place that like is better.
I think there's plenty of like social welfare programs
they're working,
that
but they're not
work.
Like that successful.
But I think we just don't fund them enough. Like we don't
totally,
we don't have high enough taxes. We don't have high enough like
I agree, but then like how do you change that? Like if that can only be changed on a like systemic level with people who are already higher up and powerful, then like the people who are in need they have no ability to even like change their situation.
But there are plenty of non-governmental like NGOs that are like doing good work to alleviate that are
like,
working in the confines of, I just think there's always like more successful things than stealing from people.
I agree.
I agree too.
I think that it's less of a wrong and right. Like I think what Robin Hood did is still technically wrong by the standards of any sort of stealing being bad, which I agree with, but it's less bad than walking up to someone on the street and punching them and taking their money. But it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's about the line, but also like where it falls past that.
See, my problem with that is that like in any situation, you can frame it as like some guy walking on the street, like punch you in the face. Like there's probably a reason they're stealing it, right? They're probably like, maybe they're poor themselves. Maybe they are like, you can always justify it. Like there's always a reason someone steals. And I like, Pubs and I were talking about that like, it is this like strong-handed morality is very much a product of like, I've never had to steal to feed myself. And like, that's a huge point of privilege that I'm coming from. And, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. No, I do agree all stealing is bad, but I think there, the line just can't be that clear cut. But then also like, I do see the point of like, you could frame any situation as people being in need and doing it.
Right. And
but
like, HP, so shout out to HP. She was listening at least at the beginning. She was like surprised at how much like I like clear lines in that. Like, mm-hmm. all moral questions, I try to like draw clear lines.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is you can always like justify things that are wrong in a situation that feels like the good guy is like doing the right thing, but morally like could be wrong. And I think especially when you're in this situation, it's like very easy to do that.
I agree, but I think on the flip side of things, you could always justify something that is good being like wrong.
Really?
I think so. I think you could spin any situation as like someone doing it for their self-interest or someone, you know.
Yeah, but then that just advocates more for clear lines. It's like, okay, you have clear lines, you can't, then it helps on both sides. You like can't spin it either way. Yeah, I don't know. And what gets me, man, about like, okay, I also don't want this to come off as like me being this superior moral being, because what I talk a lot about this with my brother, in that the way I like to live my life is I identify things and I don't necessarily always do the right thing. Like, I think walking in, like stealing from the dining halls or whatever, like going in for free, however that's done, is wrong. And I have done that so many times. And like, I will probably do that in the future sometime, you know?
Maybe later today, you don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's important to recognize, instead of being like, oh, it's like not that bad, I'm like doing and like justifying it backwards, just admitting to myself that like, no, this is wrong, and sometimes I do wrong things, and sometimes I'm like not a perfect person, and like it's very much wrong, but I find it very important for myself to admit those like wrong things, and like if I'm gonna do them, like still do them, like understand that they're wrong, that you're not fooling yourself, because I don't want to like fool myself into thinking I'm doing
good. I like that. I agree with that.
I like that too.
Kind of frame.
I think with things like stealing, it all is like in perspective, because like you might steal, I don't know, like a Kit Kat from a CVS and be like, this is no big thing.
Right.
But then someone steals something of yours and you're like, how dare they?
Right.
Like that is like, are you kidding me right now?
Right.
You know? So it's all relative and it's all like,
yeah.
I don't know. It definitely feels worse when you're on the receiving end than when you're on the
receiving end. Right, and we should all, like, have enough empathy to understand that, like, if anything was committed against us, we'd be so sad.
Yeah.
And we, like, yeah, we, I think we often, like, when I was little, it would be like, oh, Molly, like, don't leave this out, someone will take that. And I'd be like, why is the world so bad that I can't leave this out, that someone would just steal it? And like, if I found a $20 bill on the floor, I would for sure take it, which is like probably wrong. It's like not mine, but
it's yours now.
Yeah, and it's like we all like whatever problems we have with society, we're all contributing to them until we decide not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know, some food for thought. Listeners, guys, we have 17 listeners.
Wow.
Which I think is a semester high.
Heck yeah.
I think mostly because my mom and dad are listening separately.
Ooh, that's
and
two.
Sometimes they're on one phone. But yeah, we have, anyway, if listeners have hot takes on this, call in. Specifically Richard Littman, if you have any. Thanks, I know you're listening.
Hot takes.
Yeah. I don't know. What other... We had some interesting moral questions. Okay, so let's say there are certain things... This is something I struggle with, personally. There are certain things in life, if someone else did, not to you, you'd stop being friends with them. If my friend murdered someone, I'd be like, okay, that's so bad, I'm like not going to be friends with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's things that... If they were done to me, I'd be annoyed. But if they're done to someone else, it's like so small a deal. Like, you told someone you're going to get lunch with them and you like kind of blew them off.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like kind of offended if that happened to me. But if my friend did that to someone else, I'd be like, okay, they're not such a bad person, like whatever. But then there's stuff in the middle that's like clearly kind of bad. But if it's not done to you, do you take it upon yourself to stop being friends with them?
To stop being friends or to have like a conversation? Because I think there's a difference. I mean, it depends on how little the thing is, but like
I mean, let's say you have a conversation and there's like no going back. You know, they've like committed the, like I'm like murder. You would like not have it. There's like no going back, right? There's just like
I would still visit you in jail, Caroline.
Thank you. Oh, someone. That's so sweet. I'm sure there's a reason you true killed friendship. That person. Let's hear it.
No. You killed someone. I visited you.
That's probably true.
So who's covering for who?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I feel like if one of you is murdering, the other person's involved. Don't even joke. Yeah. But I don't know. I think there's a. There's things that, like, if they were done to me, I would X this person in my life, right? Like,
but if your friend did it to someone.
Right, if
but
they
like
did
what?
To someone else.
I need an example.
Like, okay, here's an example I was thinking about. Like, if, like, in a relationship or something, someone, like, cheated on me. Like, that is, like, a big X-nay, right? Like, yeah. I don't want you in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. But if, like, my friend cheated on someone else, do I cut them out of my life?
No.
Probably not. And, like, where's that line of, like, well, it has to be done to me for me to be empathetic about it?
Yeah.
It's, like, either something bad that deserves to be cut out of your life or it's not.
I think it depends if it actively hurts, like, how much it hurts the third party.
Okay.
You know, like, let's say, I don't know, your friend like steals from you.
Yeah.
Maybe depending on how much they take, you like have a conversation and you're like, why didn't you just ask me for $20?
No, but not to you.
Bucks.
They steal
right.
from, okay.
And they steal from someone else and you're probably like, oh, you stole from some rando? Like, good for you.
Yeah, that gets back to like, is stealing wrong? Like, are we
no? Okay, maybe stealing that was just like on the brain.
Yeah.
But maybe and then like blowing someone off is. I'm trying to think of a good medium.
Yeah. Okay, we have a caller calling in. Oh, it's not even my father. Well, maybe it is. We'll see. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to. Hello, world, and chat with Molly. It's Margot, or Hein. I'm one of Claire's third Tuff UO. She's
amazing.
My teammates on air.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, I am listening to this as I study, so I have to go back in like 5 minutes. But I was going to call in with and propose the whole cheating scenario, and then Molly literally just said it as I was calling in. But I think that the more interesting question is, would you ever enter a relationship with someone who had cheated on someone else rather than like, would you like cut out your friend who had cheated on someone? Because that is more of like getting at the issue of a double standard of like, oh, they cheated on someone, like, they cheated on me, but they cheated on someone else.
Right. Yeah, that so is, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
I don't think I ever would, because I think I would be too worried that it would happen to me.
Yeah.
So you think it's like has nothing to do with the situation, it's just that person is inherently predisposed to cheat.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Well, I think it's the same thing where if that person was willing to do it once, what's stopping them from doing it again?
Right. I mean, the answer to that is like the reasons they cheated was only in that scenario. Like there was something going on they were unhappy about or whatever.
But the underlying issue of cheating is, like, not being loyal.
Yeah, you can have an issue.
And that, or not trust.
Like, I don't, or, sure,
that
sure.
specific person, though.
Oh.
You know, if there's a inherent problem in just that one-to-one relationship and not to the person.
But it means that they don't hold themselves to, like, a certain standard of morality.
Yeah, it means that they're more willing to like take the rash action than actually sit down and try and work things out.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
I agree.
I also agree.
So would no one enter a relationship with someone who?
I would maybe, honestly, depending.
Really?
Yeah, depending on their previous situation, I think, like. My view on relationships is it's actually impossible to understand what's happening in another duo's relationship. And like, I could imagine a world in which someone cheated because of a scenario and not because of like a lack of moral fabric.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good point.
Yeah, we will thanks for posing the question, and I think we'll we'll continue on discussing.
Okay, wish you luck.
Good luck. You got it, Marks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? This is hard.
I personally don't think I could if I, like, if I knew it had happened. I don't think I could do that. And for me, throughout this whole conversation, it's kind of about, like, if someone, a friend of mine or a possible relationship person, like, if they do something that, even if it's to someone else, if I notice that they have a value that is, like, very different than mine on, like, a moral level, it would be, like, very hard for me to continue being friends with them. Even if it wasn't directly to me and I'm not, like, personally insulted, like, if somebody cheated or, like, just something worse than, not, like blowing someone off, that's not enough for me to unfriend somebody. But, like, for me, it's about, like, if they do something that I can't see them in the same light afterwards, it would be very hard for me to be friends with them. And, like, in a relationship, if somebody cheated in a past relationship, I would, it would be very, very hard for me to look past that. But I don't know.
Yes. That's a good point, Ben Cam. So our phone flasher is going off, but no numbers coming up for me to answer it. So, caller, I'm sorry, you might need a call back. I don't know what's going on. This has never happened before. But that's all right. Yeah, I think, man, it's tricky business.
I think I kind of agree with Ben, but I think my reasoning would be, like, if I knew that they had cheated in the past, it's not that I would see them necessarily in a different light, but I think I would, it would change, like, my part of the relationship, and I would get very, like, yeah, not fearful, but, like, I wouldn't be able to trust them that well, and I think that would affect how, like, I act in the relationship.
I agree, too. I think a lot of trust would be lost.
Yeah.
It would be difficult.
I don't know.
Okay, we have our caller calling in. Let's see. Hello?
Hello, Molly. It's your father and your friend, John Nash.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Not bad for a kid. How about you?
Pretty good. Do you guys want to tell us where you are right now?
Sure. We're at my house, which is also your house, Molly, in Iowa City, Iowa.
Very nice. And
not as exotic as the deck of the Queen Victoria, from which I've called you on the show previously, but more homey.
Yeah, more homey. And what are you guys up to today?
Well, I came over to visit with your dad and admire the boat that he is making in the back of your house. And then we're off to lunch.
Nice. Are you guys going to Baroncini's?
No, we went to Baroncini's last time. It was just wonderful. Yeah, this time, I think perhaps the Hy-Vee in North Liberty.
Oh, nice. That is a good one. Do you want?
No, it's a new one, sweetie. I don't know that you've been there yet. Just open.
Oh, the one not by North Dodge?
No, North Liberty, not by North Dodge.
Got it. Well, I hope you enjoy. Do you want to tell us more about this boat you're making?
Yeah, sure. when I was in New Zealand, I was taking a walk and I saw some kids putting together parts and making boats like, you know, my friends in the U.S. did with cars in the, you know, late 60s, but they're making boats. New Zealand's a real sailing place. And, you know, gave me an idea to do it. I'm making a boat. It's a catamaran. I bought some pontoons. I'm making a superstructure. I made a sail. I sort of jury-rigged a little bit of a motor. And not only is it a little boat, but it's a little boat that sort of completely folds up to be able to fit in my car because, you know, I don't have a trailer or truck to haul it. So, I mean, it's not completely finished yet, but you can see the outlines of what it'll be. And I've sent you a picture, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm making a boat.
I'm excited to try it out. Have you tested out the buoyancy ability of it? Like, how much weight it can hold?
Well, therein lies the rub, but I will say, no, I haven't tested it at all. I have shared with your father that life jackets are our friends.
It's true.
Absolutely right. But I will tell you, both pontoons are rated to carry 400 pounds each. Okay. So, there's, you know, supposedly it can hold 800 pounds.
Okay.
But I think that assumes that you sort of like set it up correctly, which I may not be doing.
Yeah. What is the timeline on the boat? When will it be done?
Oh, what the heck? There is no timeline. I'd like to put it in the water sometime this summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe if you can have it done after Memorial Day, I'll be home for like 4 days and we can test it out.
Yeah.
I got all the stuff on the back porch. Your mom wants me to clear out the back porch so we can start eating there by Memorial Day. So, yeah, Memorial Day is sort of like a line in the sand.
And do you want to tell everyone what you'll be doing when I'm home and you guys are leaving me for the 4 days that I'm home?
When I give up, what will I be doing?
Are you going to Eastern Europe?
What?
Oh, yeah.